Morning. Welcome. Great to see you. Let me start off kind of a little bit of an announcement mode. By the way, four of us went out to the Montgomery's the last 2 days. I apologize. Some of you sent emails and all, and I just haven't been here. We went out on, left on early Friday morning and got out there about 9 o'clock in the morning and worked throughout the day. Putting the joint grout back into the brick because his house was leaking through the grout joints. Pastor out there in Pittsburgh, which actually helped us plant our start our church here. And then we did some other things, worked on a garage door. In fact, we didn't know that garage door never worked one time in all the years they lived there. They lived there 20-some years, and it never gone up one time, as far as with a button. And we were able to fix that and able to fix a place in the floor that was soft and so forth. So we had a great time, great fellowship. I really enjoyed my Andy and Andrew. And we met the Davises out there and really, really had a really good time. So thank you for thinking of us, those who did, and praying for us. If you thought of us, we appreciate that. But just letting you know, we're going to have other things. Brother Davis is going out later in the year, in the fall, to finish this job up. Because there's just so much to do. It's a three-story brick house. So if you'd like to go along, there's sometimes things for ladies to do, and there's definitely things for guys to do. But if you want to go along on a trip like that, also Pastor Terry's going to be announcing about the Navajo trip. By the way, he's giving you dates that will take you into a following Monday, but we were talking about yesterday. Some are going to leave at the end of the first week instead of going down also to visit another missionary. So you don't have to go the entire time on that Navajo trip. So you might say, oh, I can't take that many days off. If you want to take a shorter amount of time, that is possible. There's going to be a meeting next Sunday morning. And I'd encourage you just to go to the meeting if there's any remote possibility that you can go on that missions trip. I talked about this in the first service. Talk about now, probably not in the next service. These tracts that are out there are meant to hand out, especially to a waiter or waitress, thanking them for doing their service. It gives you a tip calculator, so to speak, on the back, and it's just say thank you, and it has a plan of salvation. So I just wanted you to know there are things like that that's just meant to give out to a waiter or waitress on the table with your tip, or we typically put the tip on our credit card but leave these one of these anyway. And then there are a number of other tracts. We're encouraging you to hand out tracts this month, all the time, really, but especially this month. And there are some specifically for various religions that don't preach a true gospel faith. And so I just want to encourage you to maybe take some of the tracts along and just ask the Lord to give you someone that you can hand them to. You're going to see some of these around. I may hand them out in the next service, but you may not be here. Already handed them out in the early service on Wednesday night. This is something that we designed together as far as coming up with the idea, and then Christy designed this, and then Brother Ted got this printed for us. So really a teamwork here, and really neat to just give out to our community. So you might see some of these around this morning, and we'll hand some of these out in the next service. But this is something to say, hey, here's some of the things going on at our church this year. We'd love to have you come out. As about our Vacation Bible School, special meetings this fall, and so forth. What a great opportunity. Turn with me in your Bible, if you would, I think, to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm so glad you're here today, and hopefully we can help you by God's Word, and to be an encouragement to you while you're here and give you something. You know, we're challenged sometimes about what to believe. We want to take a wholehearted belief in creation, but at times when we hear different people speaking at a park, at some type of a cavern or something like that, you'll hear the billions and billions of years, and you'll hear all their evidences and all the things that they have, and sometimes we just don't have an answer for them. And when we don't have an answer for them, sometimes I think we're prone to say, well, maybe they are a little bit right. And one of the Christian views of creation is that of what is called theistic evolution, meaning that God, theistic, God has used creation to create this world. Let me say this to you. God could have done that and still be the same all-powerful, awesome God that he is. God could have designed that I'm going to do this over a period of billions and billions of years, and I'm going to show you that I can start with a rock and create a person out of it. Okay? God could have done that, and he'd still be God. He would still be an all-knowing, all-righteous God. It's hard to bend our thoughts to think that way, but I want you to know if God had chosen to do that, he would still be God. But God has not chosen to do that. And what I want to show you today is how theistic evolution compares to biblical creation. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a beautiful world you've created. And it's hard to believe that this is a fallen world. I know we see some thistles in our flower beds even here this morning. And we're reminded that this is a fallen world. But it's still beautiful. Even thistles can be beautiful. And so, Father, we just thank you for what you've given us, what you've created. And we want to come to this firm belief that you did this. And it was nothing that was accidental or nothing outside of how you stated it was done in your word. So give us a heart to want to believe and also the faith to believe what you said is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, again, basically what theistic evolution is God has controlled the process of evolution. And what God has done was done over a period of billions and billions and billions of years, or whatever it was, you know. Sometimes somebody says, well, this was 3 billion years ago. Are you sure about that? Could have been two, you know, billion years, a long time. And so I have some extra things on my notes just before me that they kind of go deep, so I don't want to cover them. So what I'd really like to do is just show you why I believe theistic evolution contradicts biblical creation. Okay, that's the theme, that's the focus. But I want you to get one thing today. I want you to see that not only do I not believe in theistic evolution, but I believe it actually contradicts what God has said about creating this world. So let's begin right here in Genesis chapter 1. And I think the first evidence of that is, how did man get here? Okay, when you talk about evolution, it's a long process of time, right? And it's going to start with something. Some are going to start with slime. Some are going to start with rocks, whatever, in the evolutionary process. And they are actually going to get to some type of an ape-formed creature that walked on all fours. And most of you have maybe seen the charts where over a period of maybe millions of years, it went from that to standing upward. And it's losing things along the way and gaining other things along the way. Okay? That's the evolutionary view of how man got here. Now, it's not really close to, or it's kind of close to creation, or is it really far apart? It's really far apart. When you take what the Bible says about how did man get here. In fact, it's really interesting when you talk to someone who is an evolutionist, because they are not only going to believe that Adam came through an ape family, they're actually going to believe that Eve came through a different ape family, but they looked around and said, Mom, I don't really look like Mom or Dad. And as they were wandering around on the earth, that was evolving, they found each other. It was just an accident. I mean, that is honestly their belief. They believe that this first man, first woman were just walking around. Hey, you kind of look like me. I don't know about your story, but I don't look at all like my parents. Well, I don't look at all like mine either. And this is their scientific belief. On how the evolutionary process and how man met woman, basically through the process of evolution. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our life. Whoa, wait a second. You mean not after the image of an ape? Not after the image or likeness of an ape? So we aren't evolving out of the likeness of an animal. We've been created in the image of God. That's a contradiction, is it not? So you've got to make a choice. Am I going to believe what God said, how man came about, or am I going to believe what the evolutionists say and some of the scientists say about the process of evolution and how man came about? God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So there are other things already in existence before man. Maybe that would be similar to evolution, but God is actually going to give them dominion over those things that he had created before. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Look at this. Male and female created he them. So he didn't just make a man and have him wander about to find something that looked like him. He actually made something also in the likeness of God, but that would be in the form of a woman. Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Well, that's different. So God didn't form man out of an ape. So again, theistic evolution, you would say God controlled the process of evolution, and so God did create man out of an ape. It was just God that was doing it, not just a process of time. So wait a second, it wasn't God that made man out of an ape. Again, you cannot, personally, I don't believe you can believe in evolution and put God's name to it. You can't blame God for evolution. Can I say it that way? You can't say, well, I believe that man actually started with slime and went through all these various processes to where it got to there's an ape and then he slowly stands upward. And I don't know if you've known this, but many of those charts, like with the birds and with the apes, they later admitted they made them all up themselves. They found some things, created some things, and lied about it all. So they admitted to lying. But they don't tell our kids that in school. By the way, be really careful, depending on where your children are getting their education, whether it's online, homeschool, or public school, or even some type of Christian school. Just be careful, ask, see what they're telling them, and help your children to see the truth. Okay? So if you have children growing up, you want to check what they are believing and line it up with the Scriptures. If you would go down to verses 21 through 23, I'm not going to go through it with you. It would actually then tell how God created woman out of man. So isn't that interesting? It wasn't that they were coming from two families. God created a woman out of the rib of man. So out of man came a woman. Isn't that actually the opposite of how we think it? We think out of a woman comes a child. But God was able to take a man and bring forth a woman, just showing how he is God. So when you read God's word, he takes the ground, forms man, puts into him the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. And then he takes a rib out of man, puts him to sleep, and then creates woman out of man. This is how God said he did it. So if I want to believe, listen to this, if I want to believe, or you want to believe that theistic evolution is true, then you have to say God got it wrong right here. The Bible's actually wrong in Genesis 1 and 2. Correct? If you want to believe theistic evolution, you have got to come to this conclusion. The Bible's actually wrong in Genesis 1 and 2. Well, if it's wrong in 1 and 2, could it be wrong in 3 and 4? Could it be wrong in Exodus? Could it be wrong in Matthew? Could it be wrong in Revelation? Could it be wrong where it says you can have eternal life? You see, I'm sorry, it's likened to this, but it's kind of been likened in the past to a salad bar where you can pick and choose what you want to believe or what you want to eat. And the Bible, you just can't go in and pick and choose what you want to believe. It's either all true and I can believe it all, or it's all filled with lies. I can't believe any of it. And so one of the cores then is your belief in the creation of man. You don't have to discuss everything else. You just have to boil it down to that. And then where then did death come from? That would be the second thing that I believe ultimately contradicts. Now, there are more. I'm not trying to seal us into just two small boxes. Well, they're actually pretty big boxes, but I'm not trying to say it's all contained in these two arguments, but let's just use two for the sake of time. Where did death come from? Turn with me in your Bible over to Romans chapter 5. So we could say, if you want to make it a little bit more lined up, as preachers like to do, the origin of man and the origin of death, if you want to do it that way. And it will help you to maybe see it a little bit. So where does death come from? Well, if evolution is true, death was critical in the process of evolution. It is interesting. I think Joe Martin and his DVDs, we have again some of them out there right now because of everything we have out there, including some voting guides and some study sheets and tracks, because we're encouraging you to hand out. Isn't this great? I'm turning Sunday school into just an opportunity to tell you everything that's out there. And you didn't even get that anyway, as we're slipping through. But up on the coat rack out there, a bunch of DVDs that Joe Martin has put together. And he talks about one of them being like the parrot, I think it is, that they love eating the one plant, but if they eat the plant without eating something else after it, they'll die. And so, but what they got to eat is actually clay that's somewhere else nearby. And so they actually have to eat the plant, and they love this. They live on this. They eat the plant, and then they go and eat the clay. And when they eat the clay, it neutralizes the poison that's in the plant, and they don't die. He said, well, if evolution was true, what happened to, you know, I've heard him speak, and I've heard the DVD, I don't know which is where, but he, you know, great-grandpa parrot, he said, hey, I didn't make it all the way to the clay. How did I get to the clay? How do they pass that along? They die before they're able to have children. So, how do you get over some of these things that, that evolution would teach you would happen. The first parrot that ever lived would die before they're able to have another parrot. And, you know, parrots are gone. No more parrots. But again, you have to recognize death was prominent in the evolutionary process. And as things died off, things became better. Okay? Well, the Bible says that death came because of sin. And the sin was by man, Adam. Let's just look at two verses. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, according to this verse, there was not death before there was sin. So again, that totally contradicts evolution. Evolution, you have to believe. That's what about all the fossils? You have to believe millions and millions of years things have been dying before man ever even existed. Why would things die without sin? I mean, you have to stop and think about it. So the Bible teaches death came because of sin. Well, if there was no sin, why was there death? Why did death precede? So, again, I'm not saying that creation and evolution are similar and you can, I can kind of see how it fits. I don't see it at all. if you take the true belief of evolution and hold it up against the true belief of biblical creation, there is a total contradiction. Turn with me one more time over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll give a minute here in a little bit for comment or question, maybe something else you thought of as well or you think of. But in 1 Corinthians, great chapter. Andy preached on part of this chapter back a couple weeks ago. Pray for him right now. He's in training. Congratulations to David as he graduated Police Academy. And now he had to go off to training for a couple of days. And so Liza's still with us with the children. But David's catching up. And awesome to see him and his graduation. We'll probably post a picture of him in the next week or two of him and his graduation from the Police Academy. But anyway, pray for these guys. They're away in training right now. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 21, now just look there. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of dead, the first man being Adam, the second man being Jesus Christ the Lord. And so again, the Bible is really clear. Death, the origin of death was the sin of mankind. So to put death before man is to totally contradict what God has said. So you can't hold on to the belief of evolution. Now, just because you can't debate it, just because you don't have enough information in your arsenal of biblical truth to debate it, doesn't mean you have to accept it. Now, sometimes maybe we want to learn a little bit more to help in a conversation with someone. You might have to say to someone, you know, I don't have an answer for that, but I'll be more than willing to look it up and try to give you an answer. There are a couple awesome websites out there. There's actually, if some of you like have Roku and some of those others, there's actually a great channel that you can download that's on biblical creation. And it was $4 and something a month, I think it is, something like that, $4 something a month. And you get biblical creation right onto your television. It's one of the channels that you can choose. And so we can tell you about that if you want to know more. So in theistic evolution, actually, they believe that death came before Adam. And in biblical creation, God says that death came by sin, which was through Adam. So why would anything die then before? Christ came to break the power of death. That old picture changes if death was really part of what was used to bring about man, Christ breaking the power of death. I just don't have the time at this point in time to go into it. So it's very dangerous to try to mix biblical truth with scientific error. We just have to believe what God has said, just like he challenged Job and his friends and in the end of the book of Job, were you there when I did it? There were, and I believe still are, dinosaurs. They were just in a canopy initially, so they grew quicker and so forth. And I believe there were. I think the Bible speaks of dinosaurs. There have been some sightings of some things, and we really question. Now, I'm not sure about the Bigfoot thing, okay, but but some of the other things and the various sightings. And there is, I think, one creationist who actually has some type of a, what would that be called, a sanctuary where they do have some of the very young dinosaurs, but they do recognize they're not going to get to any huge size before the coming of the Lord. But anyway, I do believe that dinosaurs were part of the existence. Leviathan and so forth that the Bible talks about, behemoth, that are in the scriptures. Any comments or questions just on the theistic evolution compared to biblical creation? Sometimes some of you have some great thoughts, and we don't just have an opportunity always to talk about it. If you would then flip your sheet over, I have actually a couple of sheets up here where you actually look at we're lining it up. Evolutionary history. The sun forms before the earth. And actually in creation account, the earth is present before the sun. in evolution, they're going to say land animals appear before whales. According to the Genesis account, the whales were created before the land animals. Another contradiction. The earth begins as a molten mass of rock without water, any water. Actually, the earth begins with water, according to creation. The reptiles evolved before the birds, but according to creation, the birds are formed before the reptiles. Thorns and thistles evolved before man. And, of course, we don't have them till after man. And if you want to see any prehistoric thistles, go out front here and look at the flower bed. There's a few growing, okay? They popped up overnight, it seems like. And we saw them this morning. We pulled a couple, but saw them this morning. So I have another one, which again talks about the ocean before land. The light before the sun, according to the Bible, the light was there before the sun. But according to evolution, the sun came before light. Land animals, land plants were here first, and then, but marine animals, they would say, came first. Fruit tree before the fish, they would say fish are before the fruit tree. Fish are before insects, according to the Bible. Insects are before fish, according to evolution. That one I've already talked about. Man brought forth death, according to the Bible. Death brought forth man, according to evolution. This is interesting how they put this. According to the Bible, God created man. According to evolution, man created God. That's an interesting thought. Out of their own need, what do we do now? The atmosphere was between two layers of water. According to evolution, atmosphere is actually above water. All life was created by God in creation. According to evolution, all life just happened and evolved over time. And there is a creator according to the Bible, and there is no creator according to evolution. Now, you often have to recognize there are those that will speak of intelligent design, but they refuse to speak of who the designer is. So as we begin to consider this, in fact, I would encourage you, next week I have a quiz. Isn't this exciting? But I wanted to see if you could tell, remember, I don't worry, I have a thing where you just look over to the right and pick your answers out of the list. But do you remember what was created on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six? Remember what was created on day one was filled on day four. What was created on day two was filled on day five. What was created on day three was filled in verse six, or day six. But I'm going to give that to you. But I do want you to understand that every theory that has a biblical base is a creation of man, not a creation of God. So over the last couple of months, actually, but a gap in between, we have talked about then the gap theory. Again, man has created the idea that there was a gap of billions of years between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. If there was a gap, again, we would have no idea what was in the gap. They fill in the gap for us. Well, how do they know? The Bible doesn't address a gap. So how do they know what happened during the gap? But they will actually create an idea of what happened. So please, I would encourage you to reject the gap theory. It is a theory created by man, some very good men, but they have desired to create a gap and then fill the gap without having a clear biblical presentation of what took place in those billions of years. The day-age theory, again, all of them end up with billions of years. And so it's a biblical response. Again, I'm putting that in quotes if you're not looking up. Biblical, I'm using in quotes here. It's a biblical response or a Christian's response to evolution. They're going to hold on to the billions of years but try to manipulate the billions of years. The other was the day-age theory. The day wasn't actually a day. It was 1,000 years. And so God created this over thousands of years, and it ended up, in their mind, turning into billions and billions of years. Again, how do they make that leap? It's not theological. How they make that leap, I have no idea. And then finally, when we get to theistic evolution. Now, there is also what is called progressive evolution. I'm not going to go into it. There are other theories, but these are the three prominent. This is what I want to encourage you at the very end. I probably won't even take the 3 minutes that I have. I'll use that extra time on another Sunday school. I'm buying some time. I'm buying a vow here, okay? But just get into the Bible and take the Bible for what it says and compare Scripture with Scripture. What God has said about creation is not just found in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. He references creation in the book of Exodus. He references creation in the book of Deuteronomy. He references creation in the book of Psalms and so forth. He references it in Colossians. In fact, turn over to Colossians. Let's do that yet. I've got to be careful. I'm going to buy a vow and then use it and not have anything to carry over. But just take God at his word. There are some good websites out there, but be careful. I think sometimes as Christians, we just think we can Google everything. Be careful about that. We're talking about theology. And I want to take it from a source that I know and understand and have confidence in. So be really careful about just going out and searching the internet for something. But if you would, look here in Colossians chapter 1. Let's just start with verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and that is the idea to continue, to be preserved. So not only did God create this world, but he has also allowed for it to continue unto this day, that in all things, the end of verse 18, he might have the preeminence. So again, here we are in the book of Colossians, but it's reassuring you what John 1 talked about, and what Psalm 19 talked about, and what Genesis 1 and 2 talk about. So just take God at his word and understand there are going to be other theories. If you want help in answering them, I'm more than willing to help you and do the research needed or give you the books and the recommended sources for it. I have many books that will help you understand that. I want to move forward from that topic from this week. So I wanted to kind of bring that to a conclusion. Dear Father, we thank you for creating this world. And I just accept what you've told us, how you did it. Our minds can't fathom it. But I truly believe you're also now creating a new heaven and a new earth. And these former things will be wiped and washed away. And so help us to have faith. Increase our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.